All right, nice to have everyone back with us as we talk a bit about baseball and this surreal week it has been. We bring in Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. Henry, I know you and John Shea have shared the coverage of baseball this past week, and I've seen John a lot at the ballpark. I want to get your thoughts on just the week of baseball and what everything has meant to you, and then we'll talk a little bit more specifically about this ball club and what could be ahead for them.
Yeah, I mean, I've been through a couple of these things before. I covered the 1989 Earthquake World Series, and we had a 10-day delay. I also covered the week-long delay after 9/11. Those seem surreal in and of themselves because of the events that transpired. This is just even weirder because, we kind of knew there was going to be a World Series after a couple of days. We knew it wasn't going to be in a month or 2 months. And they pretty quickly decided to bring baseball back a week after 9/11. And it's just weird. I mean, for everything to just stop the way it has. I went home for my, for my spring training break. I flew home on Monday. We already knew that this coronavirus was, it was huge. It was going to affect everything. We even by then knew that probably there might have to be some baseball games with no fans in them. I had gone to the game Saturday just as a spectator, and there were 10,000 people there, cheek by jowl. You wouldn't have known anything happened. And then all of a sudden, the world changed when Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tested positive, and we realized that sports was going to shut down. And it's just a strange feeling. I mean, it's disorienting, obviously, for the players, for the media, for the scouts, for the fans, for us. To be here starting the last couple of weeks of March, knowing that baseball is not going to start up when it's supposed to March 26th, and of course knowing it's really not going to start April 9th when the league is hoping to get it started again.
So what does baseball do, Henry? Henry Schulman of the Chronicle with us. Do they go as business as usual? In other words, we'll talk about the choices the players have. You can lay it out for us. And assume, we're going to train for another 6 weeks? Or what does baseball do in sort of the short term ahead?
They have to get a sort of understanding, first of all, of when they will be allowed to play baseball and have people in the stands. I think that even though they self-decided to, just to cut the season short, I mean, I think now they're not going to do anything until public health authorities kind of say it's okay. I posited on social media early today that one thing they could do is start the season just having games. This is just my idea, just having games in Arizona. The weather's better in Arizona. You have 10 stadiums that are all 11 stadiums if you count Chase Field, all a little close by, all real close by. Just bring all 30 teams here and show the games on TV without fans. And I realize that that's not ideal because, I mean, players like to have crowds. But if the season is delayed so far that you cannot have a 162-game schedule, and then the integrity of the whole schedule is, is just ruined anyway, it might make sense. So what baseball is saying right now is that right now they have 2 weeks of games that are being postponed or whatnot. And at 2 weeks, they could theoretically play some of them during the All-Star break, tack on something at the end of the season. It wouldn't be ideal because we'd have baseball into December, but it could be done. Anything after a couple of weeks, and you're going to have a shortened schedule. And then the question becomes, do you reinstitute the schedule when the virus has pretty much dissipated, when the curve has flattened and decreased, when it becomes relatively safe for players to be in contact with one another? And these are questions baseball can't answer.
Boy, I agree with you. I think the next week will be very interesting for what the Giants have to do. And I know Brandon Belt, Evan Longoria, you've tweeted out about both of those players saying that we're going to show up on Monday. And basically the 40-man roster feels they want to be together and go through the drills. But if you're not going to have baseball until May, which seems reasonable with all that's going on, I just can't imagine in 3 weeks we're going to have 20,000 people sitting next to each other with what's going on in the world today. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens with this ball club? Can they stay together for 6 weeks and just train?
I don't think they will. No.
Yeah, what happens?
Well, no. I mean, I think that that's sort of the feeling right now. I think that, I mean, at the moment, even if it's not official that there's not going to be baseball on April 9th, unofficially they're hoping to have it by April 9th. And I think that, the players, I've heard conflicting things about whether they've been encouraged to go home or encouraged to stay. It makes sense for them to stay for a while just to get a feel for what might happen. And also, I mean, this is going to be the most sanitized place that they're going to be, that clubhouse. I mean, they've spent 2 days, guys in hazmat suits out there cleaning it. You have all the best medical attention because you're going to have the medical staff there or some parts of the medical staff. It makes sense to hang around. As it becomes clearer that this delay is going to go well over 2 weeks, I just think it becomes harder to keep everybody there. I think that people are going to want to go home, especially those who have, children that don't travel to Arizona and they want to, you know, go home to where their children are. It's just going to become more difficult. I think there's going to become a restlessness. There's only so many times you can play catch and throw a bullpen and, you know, go out there and pick up fungos. And then ultimately when baseball does come back, whenever that is, May, June, whatever it's going to be, they'll have to have another spring training. I think a guideline you can go by was after the strike in 1994. They had in 1995, when they came back from the strike, as you recall, the strike ended right when the season was supposed to start. So they had a 3-week spring training, and that was mainly to get the pitchers up to the arm strength, and then they had expanded rosters to start the season. So because the pitchers were not able to go 6 and 7 innings, and I think we'll see something like that. I think pitchers now can be they've built up enough arm strength so far, all of the pitchers, where they can sort of stay on a schedule. And that's probably the easiest thing for them to do, whether they do it in Scottsdale or whether they do it back home or whether they do it in San Francisco, is to just simulate throwing, at this point, the starters would probably be up to 60, 70 pitches. They can simulate throwing 70 pitches over 5 or 6 innings, whatever it is. And then hopefully when they restart the game, that aspect of it won't take that long for them. And then after 2 or 3 week spring training, you can start the season.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Henry Schulman with the Chronicle. Henry, one other thought I had. The draft is coming up, the amateur draft in June. And, of course, the colleges aren't playing. High schools aren't playing. And they may have showcases. They may have tournaments to get the players out there so the scouts can see them. And I started thinking about it. I said, boy, maybe we're coming back from the analytical part this year, and maybe it'll be the eyes of the scouts that determine the first 20 rounds, talking about, of the amateur draft,
I think it's the other way around. I think it's the other way around because the scouts have nothing to scout. I mean, all of the baseball tournaments have been canceled. I don't think we're going to see an NCAA baseball season. I don't think we're going to see high school seasons. Most high schools have already canceled all of their spring sports. And I think that it's going to be a combination of what scouts have seen up till now. And really, I mean, we're in, what is it now? We're in March. We're pretty well along into the high school and college seasons. And I think scouts, have had a better idea. Now I have a pretty good idea of who the best prospects are. I mean, you would like to see what guys do when you get into the NCAA playoffs, but I don't know that there are going to be NCAA playoffs. And I think that it's possible that the draft could be postponed to some degree, but I don't know what benefit that would have if there's nothing else to watch in terms of scouting. And I think by now, the first several rounds, I think that the scouts and the analytics departments can probably put together lists as they are now, because you've got to remember these guys who are scouted, teams have been scouting them since junior high in some cases, since they were in American Legion ball, all through high school, all through college. You can't learn that much more by watching them in the last, whatever it would have been, the last month and a half of the regular baseball season, followed by the playoffs. I think teams have a pretty good idea of what they want to do long before that. So analytics to me may come more into play because of the things that they've already put together.
Well, I think it'd be part of it. But I guess my point was, let's say baseball is going to start up safely May 1st or May 10th. Well, we'll have all these showcases, college tournaments, pickup game type things, so the scouts can take a better look. Because some of the places up north, they haven't even started seasons yet, because we're into March and when they're just getting their seasons underway. So I understand the point. This has been scouted for a year or two leading up to it. But there will be the showcases, so to speak, for college and high school players. If that draft is in June and if they haven't had a season, they're going to have to show that they're healthy somewhere.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the pro days, not the combine. I don't know what the status of the combine is in the NFL, but the pro days have all been canceled, and that's a big deal for the NFL draft. And I think they're going to go ahead with their draft without pro days. Now, granted, like you said, they have a season that is behind us in the rearview mirror. I mean, I'm sure that they'll figure it out, and maybe the draft will be a little different than in past years. Maybe some guys will be taken higher or lower than they would have otherwise if they had been able to play a full season. But we'll see if they even have these showcases, whether they want when and whether they want these kids to all get together in that sort of a format. I would imagine that if they're playing baseball, if the major leaguers are playing baseball by, say, mid-May, it would be safe then to have these showcases, I presume. I don't know.
Well, one last thought for you, Henry. I appreciate the time, and sure. I know you're going to be all over this story. A lot's going to happen. Things happen by the minute, as you know, being in San Francisco, and the decrees of how many people can be at events and things like that, very important. But the other side of the coin, the labor issues, you know, baseball's got to negotiate with the union about service time. Hunter Strickland was released today. Is it business as usual? So we've got that issue, too, to deal with this week.
Yeah, and I mean, those talks are ongoing. And, you know, the union and the league have been in a contentious environment, for a while now over the upcoming labor contract. And, they need to actually be a little friendlier now to get this done, because they have many, many issues. I mean, it goes, you know, it's not just service time. It's also, guys have signed contracts where they get extra money if they have 30 starts or 20 starts, or if they have 50 relief appearances or 60 or 400 plate appearances. They're going to have to figure out how those are going to be adjudicated. I mean, are those going to be prorated by the number of games the season is going to be? And yes, I mean, guys have opt-outs, and I'm sure all of those opt-outs, all those minor league contracts where, guys like Yolmer Sanchez, for example, Billy Hamilton, any veteran player who signs a minor league contract like that pretty much is going to have an opt-out where if they're told they're not going to make the team, they can opt out right then and there and go try and find another job. Well, all of those are going to pass before we ever get close to baseball. Look, I imagine most of those opt-outs, if not all of them, will be this week. By next weekend. So these are things they're going to have to go through point by point, maybe going through the CBA, making sure they don't miss anything, because there are always things that crop up. And I think one of the things that that baseball also has to do is it has to reckon with what's going to happen to the minor leaguers, because they're getting screwed again. Nobody in baseball gets paid until they play regular season games. And, you know, major leaguers, they can handle that, you know. And I don't even know, honest to goodness, I don't even know if major league players who have major league contracts get paid, regardless of whether they play or not, because of something like this. I read today that because a national emergency has been declared, the teams theoretically could not pay them. But what are you going to do about these minor league guys? I saw one guy already, an A's prospect, already said he started to go to work for DoorDash. They weren't going to get paid anyway until about the 5th of April. So what are they going to do? And I think they have to do right by the minor leaguers in some level.
Yep. Great to talk to you. Yeah, a lot of responsibility on baseball. Social responsibility, medical responsibility, and also to their players and also to the little people, so to speak, who rely on baseball for their income. So we've got an interesting 24 hours ahead, and I say don't leave your TVs or radios or Twitter, whatever. Things are happening right away. Henry, thanks for taking the time. There's so much to talk about, and we'll follow you and John Shea and the Chronicle. Anything special coming up for you this week? Any special podcasts or anything?
Well, we had some planned. Right now, we have a new podcast up. It's a joint podcast with John Shea and Matt Kawahara, who's going to be one of our A's writers this year, just talking about the events of the last few days. And it would be good for people to find those online. It's a Giants Splash and A's Plus. You can get them wherever you get your podcasts. And really, we have a whole bunch of story ideas that we have planned. We may do some historical stuff just to keep people interested. And, you know, I'm going to get back down there tomorrow, and the camp is supposed to be opening up, or the stadium is supposed to be opening up for players on Monday. Like you said at the beginning, I've gotten indications that some players are going to be there, but I have no idea what they're going to come back to. So right off the bat, I think I'm going to be out there and seeing what's going on.
Terrific. Henry, thanks for taking the time, as always, at Hank Shulman on Twitter and sfchronicle.com. You can follow Henry and John and Bruce Jenkins and the A's writers as well. You guys doing a great job, and you're on the front line, so I appreciate it. Thanks, Henry.
You got it, Marty.
All right, that is Henry Shulman. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.